You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Cubs-related podcast presented by CubsInsider.com. My name is Corey, and one more time, in the words of Jason Derulo, I'm riding solo. Brendan is better, but not well, folks, so I will not be disclosing his medical information. But he's not well, has had to get some treatment. It is not COVID, for anybody that was curious about that. But it is something that afflicts his voice and his ability to speak, certainly for an hour plus about the Chicago Cubs. So it is just me once again. I will say at the outset, thank you guys for bearing with us. You know, Brendan tweeted about it this afternoon, but we do appreciate, you know, you guys, I think, tune in for the dynamic of Brendan and I, not just one of us. But you're stuck with me again, so thank you for bearing with us. It's an unforeseen medical issue, and hopefully Brendan will be joining us after the Padres series, certainly, if not then, next weekend when we wrap up the next week of Chicago Cubs baseball. But in the meantime, we have another series win for the Cubs. They do drop the finale on Sunday in somewhat uninspiring fashion, but the Cubs winning 2 of 3 here with the Reds to continue their winning ways, this time back at Wrigley Field as they get set to welcome the San Diego Padres at the beginning of the week. So this is the 5th series now that the Cubs have won in a row, dating back to the Detroit series. They lost those 2 games in Cleveland, but they take 2 of 3 from Detroit, 3 of 4 from Washington, 2 of 3 from the Cardinals, a sweep of the Pirates in Pittsburgh, and then this 2 of 3 taken from Cincinnati this weekend at Wrigley Field. So it has been a nice stretch for the Chicago Cubs here. They are winning games. They are getting through it despite a ton of guys on the injured list and more guys going on the injured list in this series against the Reds. So it never seems to stop there. I talked a little bit in the last episode that I did solo about how this is something you're just kind of seeing across Major League Baseball, and something I think that even as guys come back for the Cubs, you're going to have to just deal with and get used to. So I will touch on all of that, and I will have a recap, a quick one, of these 3 games for you. But I want to start just sort of on a personal note. I was able to get back to Wrigley Field on Friday. I was at every game this weekend. I hope to be going to, you know, most of the games going forward. They still haven't really settled, like, what's going to happen with the season tickets and stuff like that. We got the emails, I think, through this series with the Padres. So once this homestand ends, and then I think the Cardinals come to town in the middle of the month and don't really know the ticket situation on that. I would think that perhaps the Cubs and City of Chicago are, you know, working maybe to up capacity or figure out what they're doing there. But we will see. Either way, I was able to get back this weekend. On Friday was my first game. I think the last time I was at Wrigley Field was the Cardinals series in 2019, which I think was around like September 19th of 2019. So it was about 619 days, I think, when I did some rough math via Google to help me out there. So getting back to Wrigley on Friday was incredible. I don't know if all of you have had the opportunity to get back. I don't know if, you know, if you don't live in Chicago and are able to get back to something else that you love doing that you had not been able to do in a long time because of the pandemic. But I hope you are able to do that, whether it's Wrigley Field or somewhere else, because what a wonderful experience that was to be back at beautiful, historic Wrigley Field amongst my fellow Cubs fans. You know, just every little part of it really just sort of touched at the heartstrings, right? Like just hearing the organ playing, you know, the Cubs have a new PA announcer, hearing him introduce the lineups and doing the reads before the game, seeing the ivy, which is in full bloom now here at the end of May in Chicago, the roar of the crowd, the seventh inning stretch. I mean, you know, just the things that perhaps you might have taken for granted before. But, you know, like Wayne Mesmer singing the national anthem on Friday before the game. Every little thing I found to just be appreciating as much as I possibly could, because it was just so nice to be back there. You know, throughout the whole pandemic, I think a lot of us wished we could be there, dreamed of being there again, and you know, certainly felt how much we missed it and the presence in our lives. So it was really, really nice to be back there. The weather on Friday was terrible, but Saturday and Sunday had, you know, clear blue skies, sunny. You know, you can, if you were watching the games, you could definitely envision how Pat Hughes would eloquently have painted you a picture of just a picture-perfect day in Chicago and at Wrigley Field. So it was really, really great to be back. I think it's about, what is it, like 60% capacity right now. I think it was around like 24,000 fans out of the normal 40, 41-ish that they can squeeze in there. So certainly felt scarce. But, you know, it kind of reminded me of being at a game that had like a lengthy rain delay, or maybe went to like the 10th inning or something like that. And the crowd like kind of thins out, but it's still like sort of full. That's how it felt. The atmosphere was really great. And I know we're kind of deep into this season, so not everybody's going to their first game like I was at this point. But you can just sort of tell, like, the little things, you know, the YMCA when they do an opposing pitcher change. They're just showing everybody on the video board. And clearly everybody is just so happy to be back and to be out enjoying the world again and being around other people and things like that. And so, yeah, personally, it was definitely quite the experience. I'm not ashamed to admit to you all, you know, Friday walking in there, there was definitely a few tears. It was just so nice to be back there and see Wrigley Field again in all of its glory. It was a moment I had anticipated, and walking up those steps, you guys know it, you know, behind home plate, you walk up those steps and Wrigley kind of reveals itself to you in all its glory, and glory it is indeed. So that was really, really nice. I'm very happy to be back. I was hoping to, you know, deliver a sweep for you guys. I think I did, you know, keep my word in terms of taking care of business, but would have liked to have gotten a sweep instead of just 2 out of 3. But really wonderful to be back at Wrigley Field, to be back just in the neighborhood and, you know, have that Cubs game weekend atmosphere again. You know, people around the ballpark, but going to the ballpark. It was really, really great. And if you haven't been able to do it, I hope you're able to do it soon. So, that is kind of my story. I did, you know, I got my hot dog with my grilled onions. So all is right in the world, at least in the, you know, microcosm that is my life. So that was great. Thank you guys for, you know, indulging me on, talking about, you know, how great that was and how great it felt to be back there. But that is my story in terms of getting back to Wrigley Field. As far as, you know, like if any of you were wondering, you know, about the COVID measures and stuff like that, it felt very safe. You know, it's still sort of distance in terms of depending on where you're sitting, but, you know, not all the sections are full or like crammed full of people. You know, there's hand sanitizer everywhere. A lot of people, you know, with their masks on if they're not eating and stuff like that. There's a lot of hand washing stations. A lot of the food is touchless now. So it's definitely a different experience. There's a lot that I think if you haven't been to Wrigley, you know, even just since they were last allowing fans, but even before that, you know, there's definitely some stuff that's a little different. But it felt very good. It felt very, you know, comfortable and, you know, honestly, like pretty normal. Like there's obviously some stuff that's still unique, right? Like a lot of, you know, still masks being worn and, you know, certainly there wasn't this much hand sanitizer all over Wrigley Field before. But in general, felt very normal, especially, you know, once I had gone on Friday and then was able to go on Saturday and Sunday too. You know, by the time Sunday came around, I felt, you know, kind of just back in the swing of things, you know, pretty much no different than the past years when I was going to so many games and stuff like that. You sort of just fall right back into it, I guess, after such a long delay and such a, you know, unique and trying experience that we've all gone through. Was nice and felt normal and yeah, was really happy to be back there. So that is my story on that. So with that, let me jump into a quick recap of this Red series. An interesting series, you know, not too much going on the on-field portion. It's, you know, kind of mostly what is going on with the Cubs roster and how they are going to navigate the future here. But let's start with Friday. Friday, pretty simple. It was 1-0. It was cold. It was rainy. The wind was howling in. I think there was a couple balls for sure taken away in terms of home run balls from either side that I think probably would have been home runs on a different day, but they were not on this day. So Adbert Alzolay gets the win. He goes 5 2/3, 5 hits, no runs, 3 walks, and 6 strikeouts. So an uncharacteristic day for Adbert. You don't normally see him walk really any guys. He has a lot of starts where he doesn't walk anybody. And so to see him not only walk a guy, but 3 guys, it was interesting. You know, so clearly battling command a little bit there, but, you know, still getting 6 strikeouts and almost getting through the 6th inning there. So a nice job for him. He does pick up the W and the lone run of the game in this one. Coming in the 5th inning, David Bodie hits a line drive home run into the basket in left field, cutting through that wind. So really nice to see from Bodie. Unfortunately, he would not make it out of this series healthy, like a lot of the other players that we have seen. So more on that in a second. But before I go forward, I do want to note Andrew Chafin came in 1 1/3, 2 hits, no runs, no walks, 1 strikeout. Tommy Nance, 1 inning, no hits, no runs, no walks, 1 strikeout. And Craig Kimbrell getting his 12th save of the year, 1 inning, no hits, no runs, no walks, and 1 strikeout. That was continuing the Cubs bullpen scoreless streak that did end on this particular weekend. So it was a very nice streak, but we'll talk about that in a second. But still worth noting, Andrew Chafin coming in and putting out the fire, you know, the fire, but coming in and inheriting a runner there to relieve Alzolay in the 6th inning. And we talked about this, I think, the last time that Brendan was on, but Tommy Nance getting big spots, guys. I mean, this was the 8th inning in a 1-0 game. Obviously, the wind was blowing in, and, you know, the circumstances at Wrigley Field were certainly pitcher friendly, but Tommy Nance has gotten the trust of David Ross and Tommy Hottovy and this team, and he is being given shutdown spots and, you know, spots with key holds and setup positions, and he is so far converting them. His ERA still sitting at 0. It's already his 3rd hold of the season. So Tommy Nance continues to be a guy to look out for. The one thing I want to say about this game, and when I do these episodes solo, I don't move through the recap as quickly as I normally would because it's easier for me talking to myself to just sort of offer some thoughts on the particular game rather than setting it up for a conversation with me and Brendan. So not normally how I would do it, but, you know, again, bear with me here. The only thing I really want to say about this is I think pretty rarely in the history of this podcast do Brendan and I come on here to complain about the umpires. We're not fans of umpires. I think you guys know this by now, but it never really seems useful to complain about them, especially on a podcast where I can't show you guys the calls I'm talking about, or I can't show you the zone or things like that. It just isn't particularly useful. I also don't like to have too much of a, sore loser vibe if it is after a loss or something like that, where I'm complaining about the umpire instead of, the Cubs just getting it done, whatever, right? So I don't normally do it, but A, the zone's apparently all weekend. I was at the game, so harder for me to tell. I don't really look at game day, while I'm sitting there. But reading tweets from a lot of you guys and just the general Cubs Twitter vibe certainly sounded like the strike zones were a big mess this weekend. Joe West was the umpire on Sunday. He's absolutely one of the worst in the game, so that's not surprising. Usually makes it about himself. So that certainly wasn't surprising. But my issue on Friday is with the last pitch that Azulay threw, which was his third walk of the game and ultimately his last batter, because David Ross comes out to get him to bring in Andrew Chafin to, relieve Azulay. Azulay had, it was his 103rd pitch of the game, and it was on the black. It was right there. And when you look at the replay, it was certainly a borderline pitch, but it definitely caught some of the zone. And my issue is something that Ryan Dempster talked about on the replay of the game on Marquee that I was watching the other night. And, his sentiment was basically, as a pitcher, you're out there, you're grinding, you're over 100 pitches, you're trying to get through the sixth inning here, and you made a good pitch. You made a pitcher's pitch. It's right there in that type of count, in a full count. The guy takes it. You can definitely ring him up on this pitch, right? And he doesn't get that call. And again, it was a strike. It caught the zone. My issue is that this is one of those spots where I do complain about umpires, because this changes the trajectory of his start, and it changes the trajectory of the game for the Cubs. So instead of a six-inning quality start and a win for a young pitcher who is trying to, again, progress as much as he can in his young career, build himself into that, future top-of-the-line, frontline starter for this team, you take that away from him. And now he's got a 5 2/3 start. The bullpen has to come in to relieve him. So now the bullpen for David Ross is started on an earlier track. They have to come in the sixth to get one out. So now Andrew Chafin has to roll over and go back out there for another inning, sit down, come back out there. And they did it. They won the game 1-0. So it's not that big a deal. But for a pitcher in Azulay's position, and as he's, trying to build his career and build himself into the pitcher that he and the Cubs want him to be, it would have been nice if he could have had a six-inning quality start, also pick up the W. Then Chafin is able to come in just in the seventh, have a normal, clean inning, right? So it's not that big a deal, but it's just one of those things where Adbert made the pitch. The pitch was a strike. He should have gotten the strikeout. His day should have ended with 7 strikeouts and 2 walks, not 6 strikeouts and 3 walks, and it should have been a quality start. So these are just little things, and whether a guy gets a quality start or not doesn't really matter in the physical world, right, too much. It's just a stat, but it just would have been nice aesthetically and just for Adbert's confidence and his overall game log and just everything. He should have gotten that pitch, and it's annoying that, the umpire squeezes him on the 103rd pitch of the day for another walk. It's just annoying. It bothers me. And, then when you watch the zone be, just a mess all weekend, it's just like, okay, here we go with the umpires again, right? So it is what it is, but it's just annoying. Anyway, going to Saturday, this one is a 10-2 Cubs win. The score, it was a pretty close game for most of this game. It was 2-0, the Cubs getting 2 in the bottom of the second. It was 2-0 all the way through the fifth until the Reds tied it in the sixth, and then the Cubs put up a 4 spot in response in the bottom of the sixth. It was one of those games that, by the end of it, felt like, a bit of a blowout, but didn't really feel that way for the majority of the game. But either way, a win is a win. So the Cubs winning this one and picking up the series. Zach Davies started this game, 5 innings, 2 hits, 1 earned, 2 walks, and 3 strikeouts. He only threw 65 pitches in this one. So again, this is another one where David Ross just sort of picks those moments and decides, I am not going to have Zach Davies continue here and, you know, go through the order again, and I'm just going to trust my bullpen. So that is what we have seen kind of from David Ross a little bit. Now, the inning started with Davies walking Eugenio Suarez to start the sixth, and then he brought in Rex Brothers to face Jesse Winker, and then, you know, ultimately Castellanos, who followed. So he did let him go out there for the sixth, but, you know, just decided again, like, you know, even with that low pitch count, he didn't want him pitching to Winker again, didn't want him pitching to Castellanos again. It was an interesting spot. It ends up, the runs do score eventually, so it was a risky call. And I think, you know, rarely so far this year have I taken too much exception to stuff that David Ross has done bullpen-wise or lineup-wise and things like that. I think he's been pretty good about it, especially with, you know, how many injuries and, you know, just different things have gone on with his team. I probably would have let Davies work through this. I thought it was interesting. You know, Brothers hadn't pitched, I think, in over a week coming into this game. And, you know, the main issue with him in the past has been his command. So I thought it was an odd spot to not let Davies continue. You know, again, Saturday as well was a more pitcher-friendly environment, not so much as Friday, I don't think. At times, the wind was really howling in, though. And, you know, to bring in a guy that hadn't pitched in a while and has command issues, you know, and he walks Winker, Rex Brothers walks Winker to start things, it was, you know, I just think a curious choice. But at the end of the day, the bullpen has been so good. And, you know, Davies is one of those guys, I guess, who, you know, you just do want to be careful with going through the order so many times. But, you know, just interesting. I probably would have let Davies try to get through there just because the pitch count was so low. You know, he wasn't hovering around 90. So I would have let him try it. But it is what it is. Anyway, the Cubs getting their runs in this one. In the second, it was an Eric Sogard infield single, bringing home a run, and then Zach Davies singling on a bunt to bring home another run. So the Reds' defense, not good. Not good. Just that's all I have to say about that. Tyler Stevenson would tie things up with a double in the top of the sixth, and then in the bottom of the sixth, the Cubs opened this one up with a four spot. It started with Amir Garrett walking Eric Sogard to bring in Ian Happ. That made it 3-2. Crowd loved that. Let me tell you something, being back at Wrigley Field, the Wrigley faithful, and justifiably so, not big fans of one Amir Garrett. The Boo Birds, even for a limited capacity, were quite loud. So that was fun, watching him walk in a run. Javi certainly taking note of that on the bench if you were watching a game on Marquee. Jock Peterson followed with a 2-RBI single. Chris Bryant followed with one of his own, only 1 RBI, and that made it 6-2. In the seventh, Rafael Ortega with his first home run, making it 7-2. In the eighth, the Cubs would add a few more on a Javi Baez RBI single and an Ian Happ 2-RBI single. That would give them double digits on the day, a 10 spot, 10 runs on 13 hits for your Chicago Cubs. So that was very nice to see. And the bullpen following Zach Davies, Rex Brothers does get charged with an earned run in this one. Behind him, Keegan Thompson, Ryan Tepera, Brad Week, and Dylan Maples were all very good. No walks from that group, just a couple of scattered hits. Thompson with 1 strikeout, Tepera with 2, and Week with 2 as well. So that was the pitching story, and really the story for the game on Saturday. The one thing I do want to note, that run that Rex Brothers gives up is the first in 38 and a third. We had been keeping track of that Cubs bullpen scoreless streak, and that was it. 38 and a third innings. And actually now, since that, they are back up to another 9 innings of scoreless relief. So, you know, needless to say, this bullpen's been really good. And, you know, that, again, that was a tough spot. I mean, Brothers has been pretty good for the Cubs on the year. He walks two guys, gives up the run, does strike out one in just a third of an inning of work there on Saturday. And, you know, not to make excuses for it, but I just think it's worth noting, as the bullpen hadn't given up a run in almost 40 innings, that was not necessarily a surprising spot. As I said, you brought in a guy who had not worked in a while, who has command issues, and you brought him in with a guy on first base to face the middle of the Reds' order. So it wasn't exactly surprising that that is the first spot. I don't know that Rex Brothers was necessarily set up to succeed there. So that was really the story in that one, but really impressive from the bullpen. So that streak is over, but they've begun another one. But as it ends, I think really worth highlighting just how impressive that streak was and how important it was as you're looking at the Cubs winning these games. And, you know, the Cardinals lost on Sunday as well, so the Cubs sitting a half a game out of first place. You know, the bullpen has been a huge, huge, huge contributor to that success, and hopefully, you know, this current streak, scoreless streak, is on its way to being just as long. So that was the story on Saturday. The big news is David Bodie leaving this one with a shoulder injury. I will touch on that when I finish up with this recap in a second, because we did get an update on that, but certainly a scary looking scene there. He looked to be in a lot of pain, but 10-2 the final on Saturday, and we will touch on that in a second. On Sunday, it was a 5-1 Reds win. Not too much doing here. Jake Arrieta was not good in this game. The command was not there. Just 3 2/3 innings, 6 hits, 5 runs. Only 2 of them earned. The Cubs defense also not great in this game. Chris Bryant and Patrick Wisdom both with errors there. Jake walks 4 and strikes out 3, gives up 1 home run. He just wasn't great. Didn't have it from the jump. The first inning was messy all around for the Cubs. They fall into an early 3-0 hole, and they don't do much against Tyler Mahle and the Reds' bullpen, so there just was not a lot doing here. The Cubs only muster 4 hits, those coming from Jock Peterson, Chris Bryant, Wilson Contreras, and Patrick Wisdom. So not too much to report really on the game from Sunday. It was sort of just a simple loss, you know, not that big a deal. But the Cubs take 2 of 3. They win the series, so I think we can allow it. Some things to note in this game, again, you know, like I said, the bullpen building that streak up. So after Arrieta, bullpen very good. Brad Week, an inning and a third, 1 hit. No runs, no walks, and a strikeout. Rex Brothers comes back for another outing on Sunday. Clean inning, just 1 inning, no hits, no runs, no walks, no strikeouts. Dylan Maples, you know, pretty solid 2 innings of work. He walks 2, but also strikes out 2, doesn't give up any hits, no runs. And Dan Winkler with a clean inning and a strikeout. His ERA sitting at 0.51. Dan Winkler putting together a very nice series here. So that is the story from this Reds series. Again, you know, not a super exhilarating series, I guess, but the Cubs finding ways, again, continuing to find ways to win games. So let's talk about the roster. So David Bodie has a shoulder dislocation. That is the official word. And the good news is that it is not separated. I am not a doctor, and I do not pretend to be one. But the quote from David Ross was, "We got the best news we can possibly get on him." So, you know, clearly a dislocated shoulder is not great, and he was in some pain. And, you know, certainly that may be an issue that pops up, you know, but a pretty common thing that's going to get referenced is, I believe, Fernando Tatis Jr. had a similar thing, and he did have to go on the IL, but, you know, able to come back. And if you watch Tatis Jr. at all, he certainly doesn't seem any worse for wear for it. So they should be without Bodie for a little bit. But when you were watching the play, you know, it kind of had that look of like, okay, well, I don't know how long, you know, I don't know when we're going to see David Bodie again. So this is good news. And, you know, just in terms of depth, you know, really what the Cubs need. So we'll see how long David is out. We certainly don't have a timeline on that so far. He was placed on the 10-day IL to start instead of the 60-day IL. And, you know, you can kind of read into that. I think if they thought the injury was worse, you can always reevaluate these things. But when if they don't, if they felt it was really bad and they were certainly going to be without him for a while, they could have just put him on the 60-day IL right away. So, you know, that is good news. It sounds like good news all around, at least the best news that you could have gotten when you're dealing with an injury. So the other injury, I don't know if this is called an injury, surgery. Trevor Williams had an appendectomy on Sunday. That came after the game, I believe, on Sunday, and he was supposed to start for the Cubs on Monday evening. So now they have a TBD to open that series. I would assume Keegan Thompson is in that mix, maybe just to serve as an opener for a few innings. There's different options that the Cubs can go with, but this is certainly, you know, kind of quick news. So if you're I'm recording this at about 11 on Sunday night in Chicago. If you're listening to this on Monday, the Cubs have probably made a decision there, so check on that and see who they are going to go with to start the game on Monday evening. That's, you know, hopefully something that doesn't really impede Williams' progress too much, but he'll have to miss some time, I would think. At least it derails him just a little bit. Either way, it's just, you know, another thing. He had been putting together better starts, obviously had a really nice start there in Pittsburgh. So even if this only keeps him out for a minimal amount of time, it still is, you know, something that potentially derails his progress there. And so the Cubs do call up Sergio Alcantara, a young middle infielder from AAA. He's a guy who has really lit up the offensive side of the game at AAA this year. Only 79 plate appearances, but slashed .328 with a .481 on base percentage and a .459 slugging percentage. And the defensive side of the ball has always been there. He's, you know, rated as a really plus defender and someone who can, you know, really play solid defense. So that is a plus. Only 24 years old, so a young guy. And the interesting part of this decision is that there are no options here. So the Cubs either have to have Alcantara up for the duration of the season, or they will have to, you know, play those games of trying to option him down. And, you know, then you have to pass him through waivers, then he has to accept the assignment and all that, which for a 24-year-old, you know, really good fielder, I don't think that is going to happen. So you can read into that thinking that the Cubs really believe in him, or they wouldn't care about losing him. And, you know, just given that he's a very solid defender who had shown you something there at AAA Iowa on the offensive side and, you know, the short time he was there in 2021, I wouldn't think that that's someone the Cubs want to lose. So I think the read on that is that the Cubs probably plan to have him up for a while, and hopefully at the very least he can provide plus defense in relief of David Bote at third, or, you know, certainly at second base with that position being open with Nico Hoerner out. So that is the sort of updated roster news. And when you look at the Cubs roster, Anthony Rizzo missing games still, you know, this weekend with the back situation. Looking at who is injured, you know, Rizzo and Trevor Williams, you know, not necessarily on the injured list, but, you know, they're missing games. So 13 players currently injured, you know, from that main group. Trevor Williams, Anthony Rizzo, David Bote, Matt Duffy, Nico Hoerner, Jason Hayward, Jake Marisnyk, Alec Mills, Justin Steele, Trevor McGill, Austin Romine, Jonathan Holder, and Rowan Wick. Yeesh, that is a lot of guys. There's also a lot of hamstrings on this list, a lot of hamstrings, a lot of shoulders on this injured list. So it's, like I said, just the nature of things. It seems to be something that's happening around the league and certainly something that the Cubs are dealing with, and they are just going to have to continue trying to get by. And, you know, I think when you look back at the week that was, I think it's very successful. You know, some of these injuries happened over the weekend, but to be able to, you know, win 5 of 6 that you played this week, a sweep in Pittsburgh, and then 2 of 3 against the Reds here, I think you take it, right? Like, again, as I said last time, and we've talked about this a good bit, like, you'd love for the Cubs to just be killing everybody every day, you know, winning every game like 8-0, right? They're getting complete game shutouts. The offense is crazy, grinding at bats, you know, chasing pitchers in the early innings, hitting home runs, and, you know, just feeling dominant all the time, right? But that's just not where the Cubs are at right now. And when you have so many guys on the injured list, and this isn't to play like a woe is the Cubs game or anything like that, but the reality is the reality. You know, the back end of the lineup in the game on Sunday, you know, with Contreras hitting fifth, you've got Ortega, Wisdom, Sogard, and the pitcher. Like, again, this is nothing against, you know, to like knock these guys or anything like that. But, you know, like, that's not a great bottom portion of the order. And you know, especially some of these guys, you know, not necessarily anticipating being thrust into an everyday starting situation for a team that is a half game out of first place, right? It's a tough level of performance to maintain. Even for the best players, it's tough to grind that out for 162 games. And, you know, when you have a bottom of the order that is full of guys that were really only intended to be depth, some not even necessarily at the major league level, it is just a tough spot. And you just have to try to win games when and how you can, and just sort of, you know, deal with it going forward. So, you know, you can look at the performance of Ortega. You know, he hit a home run, but he's also striking out a good bit in the limited time he's been up here. Patrick Wisdom has had some nice swings, you know, hit the home run earlier this week, and I had one of those balls for sure this weekend at Wrigley that he struck pretty well that I think got caught in the wind and, you know, otherwise would have been a home run. And, you know, then you've got Sogard, you know, who is who he is. But it just feels not really pragmatic to dig into each of these guys or, you know, talk about like who should be playing or who shouldn't be playing, because at this point it's not much of a choice, right? Like, you just are trying, you're playing who you got and trying to get through it and survive. Just sort of, it's, you know, it's sort of like a survive and advance mentality. So, I think, you know, you certainly want to see more from Ortega, and, you know, Wisdom has had time at the major league level before, so, you know, perhaps can catch a little lightning in the bottle there. And, you know, for as, you know, whatever I think Sogard is, you know, you saw it this weekend, like, there's times where he makes a lot of weak contact, but every now and again, like, that weak contact finds a hole, or, you know, it drags the shortstop to shallow left field and they can't throw him out, or he'll take a walk with the bases loaded, things like that. So each of those guys have found ways to contribute and do their thing and help the team win a little bit here. So you just have to lean on these guys. As far as updates, I don't think we have definitive timelines on anyone. Hopefully Anthony is back soon. This is one of the things that the Cubs do that kind of drives me, and I would assume a lot of you, nuts, because they just do this so often where, you know, we know Anthony deals with his back for 10-ish games a year, right? A lot of people make it into, I think, a bigger thing than it is. It's really a handful of games every year. But it seems like every year it ends up being pretty close to 10 days or a little more than 10 days, whatever it is. And you look back and you go, I know you don't want to put Anthony on the IL because you don't want him to miss more games than he needs to. And if it's only a couple days, you don't want to put him on the 10-day IL. But it's almost always a decent chunk of games, and they almost always end up playing down a man, right? Just with a limited bench for the duration of that process. And it's just kind of infuriating, right? Like, just get another healthy body up here. Let Anthony rest for 10 days. I just don't get it. They know it better than me. Rizzo knows his back better than me. So, you know, there's obviously stuff that I just don't know here. But it just seems like we do this same thing every year. And especially with how many guys are out and hurt, it just would be nice to be able to bring up another body, right? Whether it's a pitcher, a hitter, it doesn't even matter. But just, you're playing down a man. And they do it a lot. The Cubs do it a lot. And I am not positive why. So that is what it is. But, you know, you're just trying to get by. So beyond Rizzo, Hayward should be eligible to come off the IL, I think, in a few days here. I don't know if he's going to immediately come back. You know, again, the nature of some of these injuries, you know, I don't know if they're going to want these guys going on rehab stints or to just continue in their progress, but you don't want to rush anybody back. So I don't know if he'll come off right then, but, you know, the progress reports have been good, running, doing some hitting, you know, agility stuff. So, you know, I think the key is that, and that's also the case for Jake Mariznick, who is eligible to come back whenever. He can come back whenever. But, you know, still, same thing. Mariznick's been out for a decent chunk of time, so don't know if they'll want to send him down to just see some live pitching, get back into game action before he's back out there with the Cubs. But is hitting, is running. I think there was a video of him from Marquee doing some base running work and stuff like that. And the key is just that these guys are in a position to come back, right? That they're not dealing, at least right now, with injuries that are going to keep them out for months or going to, you know, take them out for the season. If you have to give them a little extra time, you know, beyond the 10 days, couple weeks, whatever, cool, fine. As long as these guys are able to come back at some point and help out, I think you can weather the storm for a little bit, especially if Anthony's able to get back in there. You know, then you're able to lengthen the lineup a little bit, get Contreras or Happ down to that sixth spot. And, you know, you're only subbing in some of these, you know, more replacement type guys in a couple spots in the lineup. But as long as these guys are able to get back there, I think you're happy with that and you're cool looking forward to that. So that is kind of the state of the team here. I wish I had a more eloquent way of talking about these injuries and stuff like that, but honestly, like, it does seem somewhat pointless to really delve too deep into each of these guys. I will say I would like to see Alcantara get more of a look. I think anytime you have a 24-year-old who's been really hot at the plate in AAA, I think he's had a high BABIP, you know, so a lot of balls falling in, but he's taken walks. And when you're pairing that with great defense, I want to see that get a look, because I think at the very least, the defense is important. And especially with the pitching staff that the Cubs have, I would sell out for defense. And I know there's going to be opportunities where he's going to look at someone like Sogard and want some more contact in there, or look at someone like Wisdom, who, you know, or Ortega, you know, have shown you a little more pop. And you know, maybe you want to see if they can run into one. You know, I don't care if you strike out three times a game, just try to run into one, right? Something like that. But I think with where you are, with how stretched thin you are, give me a high quality double play combination. Give Javi someone to really turn those double plays with and eat up those ground balls, because I think that's going to be more beneficial to the team in the immediate than what we see on offense. Again, you'd love for Alcantara or, you know, Ortega or Wisdom to get in there, get hot at the plate, and just really help you out and from an offensive perspective, but you never know about that, right? And so, but the one thing that we do seem to know is that Alcantara is a really good fielder. So get him out there, let him do his thing there, and, you know, try to capitalize at least on something that you know, right? You know that that skill is good and will play at the major league level. So I would like to see that. So otherwise, though, you know, you just kind of got to take it day by day, right? Have to see what pitcher you're going up against and who you want to get in there. And yeah, and really at this point, just hope that the rest of these guys can stay healthy, because you're really leaning on, you know, Javi and KB and Jock and Ian Happ to stay healthy out there and to contribute at the level that, you know, they've contributed at in the past. You know, we've talked about Wilson Contreras. You know, he's down, his OPS is now down about 774, hitting 247 on the season. Ian Happ's at 206, hitting with a 705 OPS on the season. And so, you know, again, like, you don't want to put too much pressure on these guys, because they have their own adjustments to make. Their career is on its own trajectory, but you need these guys to step up. With just, it's just the nature of where the team is right? Like, you just need, you know, someone like Hap, you need him to get right and to, you know, stay on that right track from where he's been coming off of the injured list, and, you know, start to veer back more towards, you know, how he looked at the beginning of that 2020 season. It's a lot to put on these guys, right? I always say that, you know, it's sometimes not fair to sort of immediately be like, hey, we need you to step up now, you know, like, not over the course of 162 games. We need it right now. But that's where the Cubs are. They're just stretched so thin that you need these guys to step up and start delivering for you a little bit. So I think that that's all I really have. I want to preview the upcoming series with the Padres and then look a little bit at the Cubs' schedule going forward. But in general, like, it's harder to really dig into some of these things because they're playing with what they got, right? And, you know, like, when you have a lineup on Sunday, and I think it was similar on Saturday, you know, Peterson, Bryant, Baez, Hap, Contreras, Ortega, Wisdom, Sogard, Arrieta, I can't really come on here and rip them for not doing a better job against Tyler Mahle. Like, they're getting by with what they have. They're surviving and just trying to win games. And they find themselves a half game out of first place as we are just about in June here. And I think that is about all you can ask for from this team. They've weathered a good bit of injuries. They've, you know, had some guys step up, you know, in the role positions that they were supposed to be in coming out of spring training. And they find themselves exactly where we all wanted them to be, competitive and right in the thick of things in this NL Central division. The bullpen, of course, has been lights out. The starting rotation has been a lot better than it was at the beginning of the season. And they're just going to have to take it night by night and try to find the offense where they can get it. So the upcoming series with the Padres, again, now we do have a TBD, as I'm recording this on Sunday night, for the Cubs. It was supposed to be Trevor Williams. That game is on Monday. It is a 1:20 start. It'll be Chris Paddock for the San Diego Padres. He is 2-3 with a 3.61 ERA. On Tuesday, it is a 7:05 start back at Wrigley Field. Weathers for the Padres, he is 2-1 with a 1.31 ERA versus Kyle Hendricks, 5-4 with a 4.63 ERA. Weathers is a lefty, for those of you keeping track. And then the finale on Wednesday is also a 1:20 start. So 1:20 on Monday, 1:20 on Wednesday, and then a night game in the middle on Tuesday. It'll be Lamette for the Padres, a right-hander, 1-0 with a 2.57 ERA, and Adbert Alzolay getting back out there, 3-4 with a 3.81 ERA. So that is the probables for the series with the Padres, and here's what I want to delve into with the schedule coming up. The month of June is not going to be easy for the Chicago Cubs. So after the Padres series at Wrigley, they head to San Francisco to play the Giants, who are vying for, you know, one of the top spots there in that NL West. They've been very good to start this season. Then they are out in San Diego to revisit these San Diego Padres. The Cardinals come to town in the middle of the month. Then the Cubs go to New York to play the Mets, back home to play the Marlins and the Indians, and then at the end of the month, the Dodgers and the Brewers. So there are a lot of first-place teams in there. There are a lot of teams that are over 500 in there. So really, all that I want to say on that is this is going to be a tough stretch, and I think looking at it to start this month, I would set a goal of finishing this month in a similar spot that you're in right now, which is feeling like you are either in first place. Obviously, that's the ideal spot to end the month, but at the very least, in striking distance. This would not be an easy schedule if the team was at full strength. It is certainly a bit of a gauntlet when you have 13 guys on the injured list and you're not really sure when some of them are coming back. And, you know, they're dropping like flies, basically, right? Like Bodie on Saturday, and then we get the news after the game on Sunday that Trevor Williams isn't making his start on Monday. So this stuff keeps coming, the hits keep coming, and they may keep coming, and they're coming for every team in the MLB. So you're going to have to just deal with that, but this is a tough schedule. So the Cubs have recently done a very good job. They're playing a lot of one-run games. They're playing a lot of close games, and they have shown the ability to win those games. They have shown the ability to get good starts from their starters and shut down a couple innings with the bullpen. They have also shown the ability for their bullpen to step up and cover a lot of innings if the starter needs to get cut short and David Ross wants to keep a game close. The offense has shown the ability to put up big run totals, crooked numbers at times, but for the most part, they've shown the ability to get key hits, to hit situationally, and put across the amount of runs they need to win games on a nightly basis and just get it done, right? And I know that's a lot of cliches and stuff like that, and it's all situational on a night-by-night basis, but over the last month, for sure, we have seen this Chicago Cubs team show us that they know how to win games, and more importantly, they know how to win close games. This team knows how to play close, tight games. Make the defensive plays they need to when they need to, get the relief pitching they need to when they need to, come up with that clutch hit. They have shown the ability to do this. Now the question becomes, can they continue to do that in a tough schedule with half of their roster on the injured list? We'll see. This is going to be a big test for this team, especially because it's going to take us into July. It's going to take us towards that All-Star break and take us towards that trade deadline where we're all waiting to sort of see what they're going to do. So I think, you know, again, I think the baseline expectation for this schedule coming up is just maintain the spot that you're in. You are right in the thick of it in this NL Central. And just get through this part until you can start getting some of these players back. Get your roster up to strength and then put your focus on going on a run and going in for the kill there, in for that NL Central. And I would love to see them do that to start and just take it to the Padres here. And I believe they can do it. I hope that, you know, suggesting that this is a tough schedule and just hoping you find yourself, you know, at or around first place at the end of this, I don't mean that to sound pessimistic. It's just sort of trying to be realistic. Like, there's just a lot of guys on the injured list. They are playing with a lot of Band-Aids and a lot of subs, you know, being asked to carry a pretty significant portion of this burden here. And so it's just not going to be easy. So I just want to have realistic expectations and, you know, not try to ask too much of them. They played very well to start this 2021 season through the month of May. They find themselves a half game out of first place. And as I said in the last episode, they deserve to be there. This team right now deserves to be a first-place team. They have played well. They have weathered storms. But this is going to be a test. This is going to be a test for this team. So we'll take it day by day, which I think is what David Ross is doing and what he kind of has to do in filling out his lineup and stuff. And just as fans, you know, help the team, root for the team, support the team, and just take it day by day. Just try to win tonight's ball game, get those 27 outs, and fly the W at the end of the night. So I think that's all I have for you. Again, appreciate you guys indulging us, you know, with Brendan out. I do my best. I'm a bit of a rambler, I think, as you guys might know. So I do my best to try to keep these thoughts concise and, you know, to the point. But I apologize if there's any rambling in there. But thank you guys for listening, even though it is just me. Thank you guys for being patient with Brendan while he's trying to get himself healthy. And thank you guys for supporting the Cubs-related podcast. It's going to be a fun series here with the Padres. You know, sort of mixed feelings. I wouldn't have minded seeing you back at Wrigley just so he can get a standing ovation when he goes to the plate or when he takes the mound. I don't specifically have an interest in watching what Yu Darvish would do against this lineup. So I'm glad he's not pitching. So let's just leave it at that. I'm glad he's not pitching. It would have been nice to see him, but you know what? We'll catch you another time, all right? Come back to Wrigley when our lineup is at full strength and we can really try to give you our best effort. But anyway, let's try to win a series here. Keep that streak of winning series here going forward. And, you know, again, hopefully by the end of this series, the Cubs can find themselves in first place. They're right there. So it is for the taking, and I would like to see the Cubs take it. So, again, thank you for listening. We will talk to you in the middle of the week here when the Cubs and Padres finish up. And as always, go Cubs.